All right, good morning. Welcome, everybody. Excited to be chairing my first IDEA meeting. So I'd like to begin the meeting of the New York City Industrial Development Agency. First, I'd like to introduce our newest board member, Nate Bliss, Chief of Staff to the Deputy Mayor. Long history here at EDC and great partner now at City Hall, serving as Deputy Mayor Torres Springer's alternate on the New York City IDEA and Build NYC boards. I would also like to introduce to my right, Melissa Roman Birch, NYC EDC's new Chief Operating Officer. This is her second day on the job, so thrilled to have her here. I believe her bio is in front of all of you. She's got an outstanding career, over 20 years in the private sector, most recently leading Lendlease's office in New York City. So really thrilled to have her in place as COO. I'm hearing a big echo. Is there something we can do on that? Okay, let's keep rolling. So the first item on the agenda is tab one, minutes of the March 8th, 2022 meeting. Any questions? Are there any additions, corrections to the minutes? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions, recusals? Motion passes. Next item is tab two, the interim financial statements, which will be presented by Carol Ann Butler.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everyone. I'm presenting the March financial statements of New York City IDA. In the category of revenues, the agency recognized project finance fees from 10 closing transactions totaling $1.1 million. Revenues derived from compliance, application, post-closing, and termination fees amounted to $1.4 million. And last, in the category of expenses, $3.3 million was recognized primarily consisting of the monthly management fee. And lastly, in the category of special projects, the agency incurred $443,000, largely consisting of the Life Science NYC Cyber New York City project costs. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thanks, Carol Ann. Next item on the agenda is tab three, fiscal year 2023 budget, which will be presented by Brett Klein and Emily Marcus.
Good morning, everybody. We're overall very pleased with the transaction volume that occurred at the IDA last year, and it's consistent with our budget, and overall the velocity was strong. With regard to overall fee revenues generated at the organization, they were a bit lower than anticipated, predominantly due to not closing the number of large transactions. Essentially, the way the IDA fee schedule works is the larger the transaction, the higher the fees that are associated with it. I mean, it makes perfect sense, right, mathematically on a general basis. But we had budgeted for two very large transactions to close during the course of the year. We thought there was a strong probability of that happening. They didn't. We do anticipate at least two of them happening, well, at least one of them happening next year. We've modeled as such, and we are anticipating sort of consistent revenues in the coming years. So that's sort of something to think about as Emily gives you the presentation and why some of the numbers are a bit lower on an overall, just again, revenue perspective. But again, from a pure work, right, small transactions take just as much as large transactions. So, you know, the team's been working very hard and diligently. I think it's important to note.
Thank you, Brett. And good morning to the board members. I will be seeking approval of the agency's proposed budget for fiscal year 23 and the subsequent 3 years. Staff is seeking board approval pursuant to the requirement under the Public Authority Accountability Act and the subsequent Public Authorities Reform Act. First, please allow me to go over some updates on the last current fiscal year, or excuse me, on the current fiscal year 22. The agency is expected to finish fiscal year 22 with $3.5 million in revenues. This is significantly less than fiscal year 21 revenues. By the end of the fiscal year, we expect to close 14 transactions, totaling approximately $150 million in total project volume. This is up from six closings in fiscal year 21. Despite 14 anticipated closings this year, all have relatively small project sizes and don't generate high fee revenue for the agency. This stands in contrast to fiscal year 21, where despite closing just 6 transactions, financing fee revenues were very high due to the agency closing 2 large stadium refinancings. With projected total operating expenses of $4.5 million, the agency is expected to end this fiscal year with an operating deficit of $1.1 million. For fiscal year 22, the agency anticipates spending about $1.3 million on service contracts, of which a significant amount has been spent to date on the LIFI NYC and Cyber NYC programs. We also anticipate supporting other previously approved projects, including the One NYC Climate Adaption Roadmap and the Rapid Testing Innovation Competition Project. For fiscal year 22, the agency is expected to have a net operating deficit of $2.4 million, which is slightly less than the budgeted deficit of about $4.3 million for this year. Moving on to fiscal year 23, arrows on the right side of the screen depict the budget highlights for the next fiscal year, 23. As a comparison, the arrows on the left side show the highlights from the current fiscal year, 22. The agency expects to generate revenues of $5.7 million from 14 closings. We are anticipating that revenues in fiscal year 23 will increase from revenues in fiscal year 22, in large part because we are projecting closing at least 2 large transactions in our pipeline, which will generate high financing fee revenue for the agency. In addition to continuing to support industrial projects and supermarket development in underserved areas, the agency will seek out opportunities to support economic sectors that are critical for the city's continued growth, including life sciences, renewable energy, advanced manufacturing, and film and studio development. For expenses, the annual contract fee with EDC is $4.4 million, and this will not change in fiscal year 23. The agency is anticipating spending close to $4.3 million on service contract purchases in fiscal year 23. This includes contracts that were previously approved by the board, in addition to new requests that will be forthcoming. In fiscal year 23, we are projecting an operating surplus of $1.1 million due to increased revenues and a net operating deficit of $3.2 million due to increased service contract expenses. Lastly, we're expecting the net assets will decrease to $22 million in fiscal year 23. This slide visually depicts the agency's projected net assets. And this slide depicts the graphic representation of the agency's projected operating performance. Thank you, and we will take any questions from the board.
Any questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Recusals? Motion passes. We will move to tab 4, the FY 2023 meeting schedule, which will be presented by Noah Schumer.
Thank you and good morning to the board. So we're now asking the board to approve the fiscal year 23 board meeting schedule. If you were to go to the next slide, there is the schedule listed there. It looks very similar to this past year's schedule in that there are 7 board meetings, roughly one every other month, and all board meetings will be on a Tuesday with the public hearing 5 days prior on a Thursday. So we're looking forward to a very productive year and happy to answer any questions about the schedule if there are any.
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Noah. Next item on the agenda is tab 5, Colab Studio, which will be presented again by Noah.
Great. So today I'm presenting to the board an inducement resolution for an NYC IDA transaction on behalf of Colab Studio, Inc., a New York corporation. Next slide, please. Colab, which is a certified woman-owned business, was founded in Manhattan in 2009 and relocated to Bushwick, Brooklyn in 2018. The company is an innovation lab and fabrication studio, which primarily designs and manufactures products, branded merchandise, and large-scale commercial installations. Colab's on-site fabrication of products and installations is done with the help of both traditional and advanced manufacturing equipment, such as computer numerical control routers, laser cutters, 3D printers, and wood and metal shops. And recent clients include companies and institutions such as L'Oreal, Nickelodeon, the Children's Museum of Manhattan, New York Hall of Science, and the UN. Through its work, CoLab is a valuable partner to both the city and the community. Alongside its for-profit work, CoLab runs regular industrial skills trainings for 18 to 24-year-olds from Bushwick and East Williamsburg and the surrounding areas. The company is also currently collaborating with IS-162, the Willoughby School, a nearby public middle school, on the school's development of a makerspace hub for its students, and the school has submitted a letter to the agency in support of the project. And during the pandemic, the company was awarded a grant from FEMA, which was administered in partnership with the city and NYC EDC, to manufacture COVID-19 test kits during a period of great scarcity. At one point, CoLab's daily production of test kits matched the need for the entire state of New York, and they received strong performance reviews from partners at EDC for that work. Next slide, please. This project is located at 16-63 Cody Avenue in Ridgewood, Queens, which is approximately 1.5 miles away from the company's existing leased location at 309 Star Street in Bushwick. CoLab is seeking financial assistance in connection with the acquisition, partial demolition, and subsequent renovation of an existing 12,500 square foot industrial building. The building will be approximately 24,000 square feet following the renovation. That increased space, which will be about four times the size of CoLab's current facility, will allow the company to invest in new manufacturing equipment, as well as to construct a soundstage to expand their business in the growing virtual and augmented reality sector. The total cost of the project is expected to be just under $14 million. The project will be financed by a commercial loan in the amount of approximately $5.8 million, $5 million from an outside equity investor, and with $1.4 million in company equity. The company has also received a New York State Regional Economic Development Council grant in the amount of $1.6 million. The financial assistance proposed to be conferred by the agency will consist of payments in lieu of city real property taxes, a partial exemption from city and state mortgage reporting taxes, and an exemption from city and state sales and use taxes. CoLab has previously hired contractors to work on a project-by-project basis, but the company expects to hire 10 new full-time staff in connection with this capital investment at an hourly wage of approximately $38 per hour. All employees will receive full health care benefits after 90 days of employment. At this time, we request that the board approves an inducement resolution for the benefit of the applicant and adopts a secret determination of no significant environmental impacts. A phase one conducted at the site identified a recognized environmental concern based on historic industrial use at the location, which may require further soil testing. Based on this, further approval of the development plans by the Department of Environmental Protection will be required prior to the agency closing on this transaction, and we will provide any updates to the board when the project returns to seek authorization. And with that, we're happy to take any questions about this transaction.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 6, 50 Penn Retail Owner, presented by Greg Coleman.
Thank you. Good morning. Today I'm presenting to the board an amending inducement and authorizing resolution for a food retail expansion to support health program transaction on behalf of 50 Penn Retail Owner, LLC. Pinrolls LLC is the parent company to 50 Penn Retail Owner, LLC. Pinrolls is a full-service real estate development company that focuses on affordable and mixed-use development. Pinrolls has constructed over 17,000 housing units nationwide. 50 Penn Retail Owner has signed a lease with a supermarket tenant for this project. The tenant will be operating the supermarket under the Fine Fair Supermarkets banner. Fine Fair Supermarkets are independently owned and operated supermarkets across New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Since 1970, Fine Fair Supermarkets have opened 60 locations in the tri-state area. The project will be located on 40 Pennsylvania Avenue between Fulton Street and Atlantic Avenue in the Cypress Hills neighborhood of Brooklyn. The applicant is seeking assistance in connection with the acquisition, construction, furnishing, and equipping of a 28,730 square foot retail condominium unit to be located within a 206,004 square foot mixed-use facility on a 35,000-square-foot parcel of land located at 40 Pennsylvania Avenue in the Cypress Hills neighborhood of Brooklyn. The project will allow the IDA's Fresh program to continue to bring healthy and affordable food offerings to underserviced areas of the city. The total cost of the project is $6.2 million. Construction of the facility is being financed with a permanent mortgage loan bearing interest at a base rate of 5.05% in the amount of approximately $3.1 million from the New York City Housing Development Corporation and with approximately $3 million in company equity. The financial assistance proposed to be conferred by the agency will consist of payments in lieu of city real property taxes and exemption from city and state sales and use taxes. The supermarket tenant is expected to create 22 full-time equivalent jobs within the first 3 years of operations. Employees will receive an average wage of $20 per hour. On November 7, 2018, the agency's board of directors approved an inducement resolution for the project. Since 2018, the total cost of the project has decreased from approximately $11.5 million to $6.2 million, and the total square footage of the project has increased from approximately 18,030 square feet to 28,730 square feet. These changes are due to the fact that construction has commenced and the project budget and project square footage have been refined. As a result of the decrease in project costs, the maximum sales tax exemption proposed to be provided by the agency has decreased from $487,016 to $259,998. Lastly, the name of the applicant has changed from 50 Pin Retail LLC to 50 Pin Retail Owner LLC. The agency is thus seeking approval of an amended inducement resolution for the project. In conclusion, we request that the board approves an amending inducement and authorizing resolution for the benefit of 50 Pin Retail Owner LLC. Thank you, and I would be happy to take any questions from the board.
Thank you. Any questions?
So just to be clear, we're going to get a larger supermarket for less of an inducement.
Yes.
That's migrating in the right direction.
Great. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Second?
Second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 7. Audit services will be presented by Leslie Escobar.
Thank you. Good morning to the board. Today we are seeking board authorization for the agency to enter into a contract with Ernst & Young LLP for performance of audit services for the fiscal years ending June 30th, 2022 through 2025 at an amount not to exceed $286,125. The scope of the work includes the following: audits of the agency's financial statements for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2022 through 2025, audits of the schedule of investments for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2022 through 2025, a management letter, if required, setting forth findings and recommendations. Additionally, performance of other audit-related services as needed. The selection of EY was done through public RFP, where EDC publicly advertised in the city record and sent out the RFP to 24 accounting firms from the city comptroller's pre-qualified CPA list. 5 proposals were received, and EDC staff evaluated the submitted proposals. The proposals were evaluated using principally the following criteria: the firm's experience with audits of similar size and scope, the quality of the firm's approach to audit services, the composition and relative experience of the audit team, the firm's proposed fees, and the overall quality of the proposal. The top 3 highest scoring firms based on their proposals were interviewed, with EY scoring the highest in both the proposal and interview rounds. EY's proposal stood out from the rest for a number of reasons. EY was the only Big Four accounting firm to submit a proposal. EY has extensive knowledge and expertise in state and local government accounting and auditing. EY's client base includes a number of other New York City component units and New York State public authorities. Furthermore, their commitment to a real and practical approach to inclusiveness and diversity stood out. Although this contract does not have an MWBE requirement, EY will partner with an MWBE firm for up to 10% of the audit hours. The results of the auditor RFP were communicated to the audit committee and approved for recommendation on April 14th. And now I'll turn it over to the audit committee for their remarks. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. This is Albert Daly on. As Leslie mentioned, the audit committee met on the 14th of April and reviewed all the factors that they went through. And while EY has been the auditor for several years, they've done a good job from the feedback, and the audit committee recommends that the full board adopt and go along with EY as the servicer for audit.
Thank you. Any questions? Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Abstentions or recusal? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 8, Full Stack Cybersecurity Bootcamp Scholarships, which will be presented by Daria Siegel.
Good morning. I'm here to speak with you today about Full Stack Academy Cybersecurity Bootcamp Scholarships, to provide 22 New Yorkers with the opportunity to build technical skills and obtain an entry point into a cybersecurity career. Cybersecurity threats are everywhere, and New York City is a prime target for hackers and others who want to cause harm and pose a risk for everyone. Ongoing vigilance is needed, and finding ways to bolster our defenses of infrastructure and other high-interest targets, including transportation networks, power grids, and financial institutions, is critical. Next slide. Thank you. New York City is facing an ongoing cybersecurity talent shortage, which, with over 28,000 open positions listed in the New York metro area today. Additionally, an Accenture survey of New York City-based technology firms found that 70% of those firms were aiming to hire employees with cyber expertise. Diversity within cybersecurity remains a problem. Nationwide, women make up 24% of the cyber workforce, and underrepresented groups make up an even smaller proportion. For these reasons, EDC, together with industry, helped to develop the curriculum and launch the Full Stack Academy Cyber Bootcamp program. Since starting in late 2019, nearly 550 individuals have either graduated or are currently enrolled in the program. Full Stack continues to run this program, and we seek to provide scholarships for New Yorkers to participate in the bootcamp program today. Through a rigorous 13 or 26 week, that's full-time or part-time program, students are taught defensive and offensive skills to create cybersecurity analysts that will hit the ground running on day one. To help with program outcomes, Full Stack created a national advisory board of leading cybersecurity industry experts. IDA previously approved a services contract that supported 28 scholarships in 2020. Full Stack cyber graduates are prepared for entry-level roles like cybersecurity analyst. The Full Stack Career Success Team gives students the professional skills they need for their first job and connects graduates with job opportunities in their hiring partner network. Of the EDC-funded scholars, outcomes have been extremely high. 82% were placed in jobs within 5.5 months of graduation, with an average salary of $62,000. 32% of scholarship students had at most some college experience or less. Beginning this June, we seek to provide 22 scholarships to New Yorkers to participate in the Full Stack Cybersecurity Bootcamp program, leading them to launching good-paying careers. Scholarship students would be across 5 different cohorts, 3 full-time and 2 part-time programs beginning in June. As part of the scholarship, these students will receive wraparound services including laptops, vouchers for supplemental exams, and industry study materials. Full Stack will provide career guidance counseling services, including help with building a technical resume, communicating with recruiters, and hosting hiring fairs with employer partners. Accordingly, we are requesting authorization of the execution delivery by the agency of a $400,000 services contract with EDC on the terms and for the purposes described herein. Thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Sorry, could you speak briefly to how FullStack is marketing this program and or advertising it to potential applicants?
Definitely. FullStack has a robust program beyond just the Cyber Bootcamp and a very strong network with their newsletter particularly. So they'll be targeting New Yorkers through that outreach, social media as well. EDC will also partner through social media, through women.nyc newsletter to reach out to women specifically. So it'll be a partnership with them.
Thank you. Do I have a motion?
Can I one more question?
Yeah, please.
And how will, once people apply, how will a decision be made as to who gets in and who gets out?
Most definitely.
Doesn't get it.
So we have goals for gender diversity, geographic diversity, diverse educational backgrounds, and a focus on representing underserved communities. Additionally, applicants will be asked to fill out an essay question. The question will be, what inspires you to follow cybersecurity as a career path, and why now, and what would you like to do with your new skills? We do find that their motivation leads to greater success, so that essay question will hopefully determine that. And then, there are many steps in the process. FullStack will shortlist a number of candidates for EDC to review, and we'll select the final.
And is EDC going to have a committee of people who will look at this and review it?
Previously, EDC has done it internally within the team. FullStack has just provided the shortlist. They narrow it down, so we have about 50, we choose 50% of the ones that they provide. I'd be happy to open it up to other people if people are interested.
Thank you.
Great questions. Any others?
Is the committee looking at DEI aspects of it? I know you said for women, but how about low and moderate income neighborhoods and geographic distribution among the five boroughs?
Most definitely. That's critical to us. Of the 28, just for context, the 28 scholarships IDA approved before, there was geographic diversity among all five boroughs. I'll just share, 11 of the participants were from Queens, 5 were from the Bronx, 5 were from Brooklyn, and 3 were from Staten Island. So we'll continue to look for geographic diversity as well as those in underrepresented communities.
Thank you.
Great program. Great. Any other questions? Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Recusals? Motion passes. This concludes the Board of Directors meeting for the New York City Industrial Development Agency. So I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion passes. We will now open up the Board of Directors meetings for Build NYC Resource Corporation. Okay, let me start the meeting for the Build NYC Resource Corporation. First item on the agenda is the minutes of the March 8, 2022 meeting. Do I have any questions? Any additions, corrections to the minutes? Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion? Motion for approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. Next item are the interim financial statements, which will be presented by Carolyn Butler.
Thank you again. I'm presenting the Build financials as of March 31st, 2022. The following financial activities occurred during the nine-month period ended. In the category of revenues, the agency closed on 8 transactions, recognizing approximately $2.1 million in project finance fee revenues. Other revenues derived from application compliance and other fees totaled $225,000. And lastly, $1.7 million in expenditures were recorded for the nine-month period ended, which largely consisted of the EDC management fee. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Caroline. Any questions? Okay, next item on the agenda is tab 3, fiscal year 2023 budget. It will be presented by Brett Klein and Emily Marks.
Yeah, so again, high level on the Build Board budget. In particular, these transactions tend to be a little bit faster paced moving. They're a little harder to predict in terms of timing, but we do anticipate and are projecting, you know, sort of consistent growth in the upcoming years for this program. One of the things that we've talked about with Andrew, since he's come on, is sort of synergizing some of the services, the businesses and that we're targeting and that we're serving to resonate more and serve the community. So that's something that we'll be focused on and looking forward to, obviously working with the new management team on. I'll hand it over to Emily to give the overview of the budget.
Thank you. I will now be presenting the corporation's proposed budget for fiscal year 23 and the subsequent 3 years. Staff is seeking board approval pursuant to the requirement under the Public Authority Accountability Act and the subsequent Public Authorities Reform Act. First, some updates on the current fiscal year, fiscal year 22. This fiscal year, we expect to close 14 transactions, totaling nearly $400 million in total project volume. The projected total operating revenue for this fiscal year is approximately $3.5 million, which exceeds last year's total operating revenue by approximately $700,000. Projects from a variety of sectors closed, including charter school, private school, social service organization, and higher education. This slide shows the anticipated changes between the corporation's financial performance in fiscal year 22 and the projected fiscal year 23 budget. The corporation expects the number of closed transactions to remain constant at 14 in fiscal year 23. However, we expect average bond issuance size to increase and be close to historic averages based on our current pipeline of projects. In fiscal year 22, the corporation's contract fee with EDC was $2.2 million, which will not change in fiscal year 23. The corporation is expecting $300,000 in purchase agreement expenses in fiscal year 22 and is budgeting for $3.4 million in fiscal year 23. This will support the WeVenture and the Industrial Development Loan Fund programs, which were approved by the board earlier in fiscal year 22. And we don't expect any additional purchase agreement requests in fiscal year 23. In fiscal year 23, we are projecting an operating surplus of $1.1 million due to increased revenues and a net operating deficit of $3.2 million due to increased purchase agreement expenses. Lastly, we are expecting the net assets will decrease to $22 million in fiscal year 23, $10.4 million in fiscal year 23. That would be quite the increase. This slide visually depicts the corporation's projected net assets. And this slide depicts the graphic representation of the corporation's budget forecast. Thank you, and we will take any questions from board members.
Thank you. Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals, motion passes. We'll move on to tab 4, FY 2023 meeting schedule, be presented by Noah Schumer.
Yep, this is the same schedule, of course, as for the IDA board meetings, so we'll just ask the board to consider and approve.
Great, thank you, Noah. Next item on the agenda is tab 5, FOGCCS. 218 West 147th Street, should be presented by Noah Schumer.
So I'm now presenting for board review and adoption the issuance of tax-exempt and taxable bonds for the benefit of FOGCCS 218 West 147th Street, LLC, the sole member of which is Friends of GCCS, Inc., and Friends of GCCS, Inc. is an affiliate of Global Community Charter School, a New York not-for-profit education corporation. GCCS opened in Harlem in 2012 with an inaugural class of kindergartners and first graders. Since then, the school has grown to add a pre-kindergarten and a middle school program, and it currently serves 490 students in pre-K through 7th grade. GCCS will be adding an 8th grade class next school year and will reach a full enrollment of more than 600 students. GCCS is an international baccalaureate world school, offering the prestigious primary years program curriculum, which prioritizes individualized learning and respect for all students across multiple markers of diversity. For the current school year, 93% of GCCS's students qualify for federal free and reduced lunch, and 95% of students and their families identify as Black or Latino. GCCS's standardized test results have outperformed New York City and state benchmarks, particularly in math, and GCCS qualified as a New York City Department of Education high-impact, high-performance school based on the most recent available data. Next slide, please. This project is located at GCCS's current middle school facility at 218 West 147th Street in Manhattan. The applicant is seeking approximately $26.5 million in tax-exempt and taxable bonds issued through Build NYC. Proceeds from the bonds will be used to, one, finance the acquisition of GCCS's currently leased middle school, a 22,922-square-foot building located on an approximately 10,000-square-foot parcel of land, again, at 218 West 147th Street. Two, refinance $4 million of debt incurred by the school, which was used to finance prior renovations to the facility. Three, finance approximately $3.5 million of additional work, which will happen to classroom spaces, a playground, windows, and the HVAC system. And four, pay for the cost of issuance. The project will allow the school to save on rent costs and to benefit from lower cost financing. And as a result of the renovations and financial certainty, the school will be able to grow its programmatic and academic offerings. The bonds are expected to be issued in two series. Both series will be issued as a public offering underwritten by Robert W. Baird & Company. The Series 2022A bonds, which will make up the vast majority, or $26 million out of the $26.5 million total, will be tax exempt with an expected 35-year term to maturity and an estimated interest rate of approximately 3.65%. The Series 2022B bonds will be a $500,000 taxable tail with a five-year maturity and an estimated interest rate of around 4%. The bonds will be secured by a first mortgage on the facility and a pledge and security interest in the assets and revenues of the school. And based on an analysis of the school's financial statements, staff estimates the debt service coverage ratio of 1.73 times. Based on a review of the project, we recommend that the board adopts a secret determination of no significant environmental impacts and approves an authorizing resolution for the benefit of the school. And at this time, I'll now hand it over to the Finance Committee for their comment.
Sure, thank you for that. Thank you for that presentation. The Finance Committee met about this particular deal last week. We were generally comfortable. There was some conversation around the price per square foot that's being paid, but the team came back with information that we considered to be, seeing for myself, unfortunate, but enough, and it seems it's in line. Finding these types of facilities in New York, whether in Queens or Harlem or elsewhere, they're just not many, so it's pushing the prices up, and that's leading to, you know, pricing for these types of facilities being almost in line with residential housing with less amenities. So we're comfortable with that. The debt service coverage ratio was fine on a relative basis. And then, you know, just on my end, I actually went to International Baccalaureate Program for high school. And so I was partially excited for the kids and scared considering they're doing it from K through 7. But, you know, hopefully that means the future is bright. But that's all from the final we approve.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Okay, I have a motion.
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll be skipping tab 6 and we'll move to tab 7, Brooklyn United Methodist Church Home, which will be presented by Carly Creed.
Good morning. My name is Carly Creed Herman, and I'm presenting a post-closing request on the Brooklyn United Methodist Church Home Project, or a BUMCH. BUMCH is a nonprofit, non-sectarian, skilled nursing home founded in 1883. In October 2015, Build NYC issued $6,295,000 in tax-exempt bonds and a mortgage recording tax benefit for the purpose of, first, refunding the IDA Series 2000 tax-exempt bonds, second, constructing an extension to BUMCH's existing facility located at 1485 DuMont Avenue to be used as a dialysis center, and third, acquiring, renovating, equipping, and furnishing the first floor of a building located at 2775 Linden Boulevard. Next slide, please. Thank you. The two facilities that are part of this project are located in the East New York neighborhood of Brooklyn. The institution requests approval to amend the existing bond documents and consent to the transfer of title to the facility located at 2775 Linden Boulevard to a single member LLC owned by the institution. The LLC will then declare a no action condo so that the space will be exempt from real estate taxes. No new Build NYC benefits will be provided in connection with this request. Staff seeks approval for the amendments to the existing bond documents and consent to the transfer of the property located at 2775 Linden Boulevard to a one-member affiliate LLC. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 8, Metropolitan Montessori School, which will be presented by Michael Waller.
Good morning. Staff is seeking approval on behalf of Metropolitan Montessori School for a post-closing amending resolution. Metropolitan Montessori School was founded in 1964 and serves 200 students from pre-kindergarten to 8th grade. In September 2015, the corporation issued Series 2015 refunding and improvement revenue bonds in the amount of $17 million to support the refunding of Series 2012 corporation bonds, which were used by the school to acquire and renovate a building located at 325 West 85th Street, refinance a taxable loan which had been used to acquire the adjacent building at 315 West 85th Street, and finance the renovation and equipping thereof. Next slide, please. Schools located at 315 and 325 West 85th Street in the upper west side of Manhattan. Next slide, please. The school is requesting approval to amend the bond documents to defer debt service principal payments from June 2022 through May 2024. The debt service principal during this period will be repaid from June 2024 through May 2027. The bondholder has consented to this amendment. The reason for the amendment is an approximately 25% decline in enrollment and 30% decline in tuition revenue during the COVID-19 pandemic and associated costs in upgrading the school's technology, infrastructure, and software to support the transition to remote learning. Presently, enrollment is approaching pre-pandemic levels, and the school is confident about its projected financial stability. No new benefits from Build NYC will be provided in connection with this post-closing amendment. Next slide, please. Build NYC staff request approval of a post-closing resolution to allow the school to defer debt service principal payments from June 2022 through May 2024. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 9, audit services, which will be presented by Leslie Escobar.
Hi again. Today we are seeking board authorization for the corporation to enter into a contract with Ernst & Young LLP for performance of audit services for the fiscal years ending June 30th, 2022 through 2025 at an amount not to exceed $177,975. The scope of the work includes the following: audits of the corporation's financial statements for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2022 through 2025, audits of the schedule of investments for the fiscal years ending June 30, 2022 through 2025, a management letter, if required, setting forth findings and recommendations, additionally, performance of other audit-related services as needed. Similar to IDA, the selection of EY was done through public RFP, where EDC publicly advertised in the City Record and sent out the RFP to 24 accounting firms from the City Comptroller's pre-qualified CPA list. Similarly, the 5 proposals were evaluated by EDC staff. The proposals were evaluated using principally the following criteria: the firm's experience with audits of similar size and scope, the quality of the firm's approach to audit services, the composition and relative experience of the audit team, the firm's proposed fees, and the overall quality of the proposal. The top three highest scoring firms based on their proposals were interviewed, with EY scoring the highest in both the proposal and interview rounds. As mentioned before, EY's proposal stood out for a number of reasons. Additionally, although this contract doesn't have an MWBE requirement, EY will partner with an MWBE firm for up to 10% of the audit hours. The results of the auditor RFP were communicated to the audit committee and approved for recommendation on April 14th. And now I'll turn it over to the audit committee for their remarks.
Thank you, Leslie. As with the IDA, the audit committee reviewed the results. Though we were a bit surprised that none of the other big firms put in a bid, we're satisfied with EY and recommend that the full board adopt the proposal for EY's audit services. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. This concludes the Board of Directors meeting for Build NYC. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This adjourns the meeting of the Board of Directors. Thank you.
Thank you.